With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems, he's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Live from way out behind the station in the News Radio, WRVA Home Improvement Shop. This is the Home Show with me, your humble home improvement guru, Rich McCann. Welcome, everybody, to a gorgeous fall weekend. There is so much stuff going on in the city of Richmond. That's what I love about Richmond. We try to cram so much living into October and November. It is just ridiculous. But one of the big things going on is the fall home show out at Richmond Raceway. And I was out there yesterday. I did a brief thing on the stage. It was a very small crowd. And but one of the big vendors out there is Akey's Home Improvement, and Kirk Akey came by. How are you doing, Kirk?
I'm great. It's a great day to be alive.
You know what? You can say that a lot easier than most people, considering you've been putting it to the test a couple of times.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to have to talk about that. I mean, first of all, it was May that you had a stroke?
June.
It was June.
June 3rd, two days after I was on the show here.
My brother's birthday. Okay. So, I mean, you were moving. Well, can you tell the story?
Sure. I had, as you remember, I had kidney stones like nobody's business.
They were pretty awful from what you said.
I had them for 5 weeks. I went to a urologist, and they wouldn't do the procedure because I was on a blood thinner, which is baby aspirin. And so they wanted to be off for a week, so I did. I went in, had the procedure. They couldn't do the whole procedure. So come back in another week, stay off of it.
Well, so let me get this straight. So, I mean, the only blood thinner you were on was just baby aspirin?
Baby aspirin.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they kept moving things around, so finally, 17 days later, I had a stroke. I was home, not driving or up on a roof.
Okay, that's always a good thing.
My wife is a realtor, as you are, and my office is upstairs in a spare bedroom, and hers is at the kitchen table.
You know what? I will admit, I've done real estate deals sitting on my couch in my underwear. It can be done.
Yes. So she's been bugging me for like a year and a half to put an office upstairs for hers, primarily in my office.
Okay.
To share it.
Sure.
So I finally did it, and she didn't occupy it for about a week.
Okay.
The June 3rd was the first day that she was in the office with me together, and in the first 30 minutes, I had the stroke.
Now, I understand she said you just turned to her. You were trying to open a window or something.
Yeah. The first thing I knew was I was boiling hot. And I don't know why, but no one's explained that to me. But I got really hot. So I reached over to, I grabbed the control of the blind to try and raise it so I could raise the window. And I'm flailing all over the place. I couldn't get it hooked. So she hooked it. I stood up and I opened the window and I just stood there. And she's, "What's the matter? You know, what are you doing?" And I'm not responding. I already couldn't talk. So
now, could you think? Were you able to understand in your mind something is going on?
I understood her. I didn't think about what was going on other than I was hot. So yeah, I just stood there, and she's asking me questions, and I can't respond. And I really didn't think about moving. So she turned me to face her. I could do that. And she saw the droop in my right side of my mouth right away.
And that's weird because I always think of a stroke on the left side.
It's hit my right side.
That's always weird to me. I mean, I was listening to a comedian the other two nights ago, and they were saying, you know, he started throwing up a lot. And, you know, someone called him up, said, are you okay? Because I just feel sick to my stomach. I've been throwing up. And they called him the very next day, and he says, I'm still throwing up. And they sent an ambulance over there, and it affected his right side. He'd been having a stroke for like 48 hours.
Oh, my.
And somehow came back from it.
Yeah, so, you know, she saw the droop. She said, I know what it is. And I realized that I couldn't move my right arm. So I picked it up and dropped it twice so she could see I'm in trouble. She said she knew it. She sat me down, and that was the last thing I could do. I couldn't move my head, couldn't talk, couldn't utter a grunt, nothing. Fortunately, EMS, Firehouse 7 on Hall Street was at my house in 8 minutes.
It's key. That speed is key.
Absolutely.
And she said, you know, and I'm not outing or anything. She freaked. She didn't think.
Yeah.
She said, I couldn't even think of the number 911. She couldn't even. And
Dialed zero first.
You know, and that's one of the things I've reminded people several times based on you is that every cell phone has an emergency. You just hit the emergency. It dials it for you. Whether it has service or not, if it's a charged cell phone, it will call 911.
Right.
No matter what. I mean, I've got old cell phones floating all over the house, and they're all charged. You could hit 911 at any point. But so she got 911 there.
She got there. They got the house, and after questions and so forth, stood me up to see if they could lead me out of the house, and they couldn't. I started to lean to the right, so they set me back down, and they went out and got a
gurney,
a stair stretcher.
Okay,
it's a chair. They sat me down, strapped me in. And it walks you down the steps.
Now, when I took my EMT classes, we didn't have that.
Yeah.
We had to strap you to a board and carry you down the stairs.
So this thing walked me all the way down the steps and outside and down the brick steps. And there they put me on a gurney.
Okay.
And then strapped me into that and loaded me up. By the time that was happening, phone calls had gone out by automated message from churches. We had literally hundreds of people praying, which I appreciated very much because by being unable to move or speak at all in the ambulance, I was able to move my arms and legs, and I couldn't talk, but I grunted.
You know what? I mean, you know me. I'm not a religious person, but the power of prayer is very well documented.
Absolutely.
I mean, I told you about my friend who fell off a ladder.
Yes.
Okay. We went to church together as kids. I forgot about that. but he said, you know, he was lying in that hospital and he could literally, physically feel people praying for him because, you know, his wife put something on Facebook and everybody was just like, we're sending out prayers and thoughts. He said, Richard, I could feel it. And that's... You know, the power of belief is a pretty incredible thing.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad you're here. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff, and I'm going to do my best not to get you to use too big a word, because I know some words are still tough.
Some words are. Sometimes I have to take a couple of runs at a word, and when I'm home, if I mispronounce a word, my wife will say, what did you say? And I'll have to stop and formulate the word better and speak it.
You'll manage. We'll get you through it. You're also at the home show today.
I am.
All right. So I'll be hanging out with you at 1 o'clock.
Looking forward to it.
It's going
to
be a good time. My name is Richard McCann. I'm joined by Kirk Agee from Agee's Home Improvement right here on the home show. Richard McCann on News Radio, WRVA, joined by Kirk Agee.
Good morning.
No big words. from Ike's Home Improvement. By the way, congratulations. You got an award. I don't think you won.
I didn't win. I placed the same as John Reed did.
Okay, so this, for those of you who are, the Richmond Times-Dispatch gave their best of Richmond, right. Which amazingly, for some, because it was all, every category was five nominees.
Right.
And for some ridiculous reason, this little goofy show was up for best morning show against four other people that do it all week long. So right. I was just happy to be nominated. What'd you get the award for? Because you were up for like four different things.
Yes, we placed for best roofer.
I can see that. You were up for best painter.
Yeah, I don't know how we got in there. We don't do a whole lot of painting, but we were up for roofer, window, and remodeler, and the painter.
Okay.
So.
Because, how long have we been working together? 3 years, 4 years now?
About four, I think.
I think it's about 4 years. By the way, next week, 17 years on air.
Wow.
Next week, 17. Can you imagine? I was 30. Actually, I was 29 when I started.
I remember listening to you and your dad.
That's forever ago.
It is.
God, we were awful too. I've talked to so many people that they've followed the show for years, and they're like, they like it now, but they said, man, that first 6 months, man, that was hard, hard to listen to. But congratulations.
Thank you.
Getting any recognition is really important. I mean, you have employees, I'm sure, if you don't,
absolutely,
just a little bit of praise will get an employee to work so much harder and better for you. By the way, how's the son-in-law?
He's doing good.
All right.
Yep.
Now, that was something I'd like to talk to you about. When you had your stroke, how did that affect your business, or did you have things in place?
Nothing formal, but Chris, my son-in-law, who's probably not listening right now.
No.
Because the home show is a long, grueling weekend.
Don't I know.
He stepped up. He answered phone calls, met with clients, of course, coordinated everything. Everything but payroll, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He really did a great job, and I appreciate it.
I told him, because I saw, I ran into all of you guys right after the stroke, and I told him, I was like, I don't know if you've done this before. I have. I told him, and I know quite a few contractors called up and said, we'll give you a hand.
Yes.
My buddy Sonny was one of those. Right. Right.
So, yeah, lots of people. Very appreciative.
So you had the stroke. What kind of rehab does one go through after that? Because I'm figuring I'm going to have one at some point.
Well, it all depends how severe it was. Now, to me, I know it wasn't the ultimate stroke, but it felt like it because I couldn't move or talk. So,
and this, let's not forget the fact you had a heart attack when?
7 years ago.
All right, and you're, if I remember,
58.
You're 58, so you're 11 years older than me. Okay, right. You don't smoke.
No.
Don't drink.
Don't drink.
I don't think you've ever drank.
No, never smoked. Well, I've puffed one time on a cigarette and as a teenager, and I handed it back to say, y'all are stupid.
Okay. So, I'm just saying.
No,
I'm,
offense, smokers.
And I know you exercise regularly.
I do. I try to. More sometimes than others.
Might I suggest, instead of treating your body like a temple, you treat it like an amusement park? I mean, it's working for some of us. Keith Richards is still going.
Yes.
But back to, what is the rehab like?
Well, it depends on how quick you can get treatment. Now, they got, because my wife noticed it within a minute, I got to Johnson & Willis, which is our stroke center. And I was there in enough time to get that clot buster drug.
Mm-hmm.
And that made a lot of difference.
I mean, that's the thing, though. If somebody wasn't there, you said you couldn't move, you couldn't talk, you couldn't anything.
Not at all.
You'd just have been sitting there stroking out by yourself.
Absolutely. I don't know how serious it would have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
But I got there enough time to get that. And so while I was still in ER, they determined that I had full use of all my limbs.
Mm-hmm.
I had full strength returned. And the only thing was I couldn't speak yet. And before I left ER, I was able to speak a couple of words.
Yeah, what did I see, the very next day or the day after?
No, I think I spent 2 days in intensive care.
Okay.
And you visited the next day after I got out of that.
Okay.
Step down unit.
And I mean, I just wanted to see if you were able to talk.
Yeah.
And you were,
yeah,
you were, you struggled a little bit. Your wife wanted to talk for you.
Yeah.
I had to shush your wife. That's not nice of me, but I did it anyway. Yeah. You know,
she talks enough for both of us.
That's, I like your, we'll see, for those listening. One of the things that really makes me happy about knowing Kirk and his wife is, that you guys knew her, you asked her to marry her like after 2 months of knowing her.
Well, we knew each other as kids.
As kids, yeah.
You know, she was my, quote, girlfriend. She dumped me for an older guy before things got serious. I met her again when I was 22, I think, and went to visit her 3 weekends later. I proposed. And that's 37 years ago.
Oh, my God. You know, Jordan's getting married.
Yeah.
Jordan is getting married February.
Taking the plunge.
And you two weren't together that long before you just knew it was right.
Yeah. We started talking about marriage, so we started dating at the end of July. Yeah, so it was about 5 months in we started talking about it.
And at some point, we're going to have to talk about your Nationals. They're doing very well.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Braves fan, so we don't. they ripped my heart out on Wednesday, so I don't want to talk about it.
So let me get this straight: you'll cheer for Washington's hockey team,
but not. Well, okay. So the Nationals are in the same division as the Braves, so naturally, I'm inclined to root against the Nationals. However, they are playing the team that beat the Braves in the playoffs. And since I have, you know, well, baseball in Washington, since it's come back, they came back in 2005 or 4, something like that.
Right.
So they haven't been back in D.C. but for like 15 years. So, of course, over the course of the last 15 years, I've gone to games and everything, so it's kind of a weird relationship.
Well, I mean,
I have an inclination to root for them in certain situations like this.
Their original team, the Senators,
yes,
they have not won since, what was it, 1928, I think, is the last time they won a World Series.
Yeah. Well, then they moved. I think the Senators moved to Minnesota and became the Twins. And the Twins won a couple World Series in the 90s, yeah, beating my Atlanta Braves a couple of times in the World Series. It was the Senators or something. And then Washington got another baseball team. And then I think they became the Texas Rangers. And so the Texas Rangers went to back-to-back World Series in 2010-11, and then lost both times to the Cardinals, and then the Montreal Expos moved to Washington. So
basically, if a team wants to win the World Series, you start in D.C. and then move someplace
pretty
else.
Pretty much.
Okay, that
pretty
makes
much.
Sense. All right, the phone number is 672-2562. That's 672-2562. That's how you get through to the home show on News Radio WRVA, where I'm joined by my friend Kirk Akey from Akey's Home Improvement. Richard McCann, News Radio WRVA, 672-2562. That's 672-2562. That just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Not even close. Not even
getting
a little
that
bit.
Fixed soon.
Jordan, are we getting that fixed soon?
Hopefully. I haven't heard any update.
Okay, thanks. We have computers. That's a good thing. I've got Kirk Hagee from Make You Someone. You can give us a call, like I said, 672-2562. You're set up over the home show. How you liking it? How's their show going so far?
Good. We've had a great response. There's not as much traffic flow as in the spring, obviously, but quality leads. Quality.
Well, I mean, you cannot compare the fall home show to the spring, because spring, everybody's been locked up in their houses, right, staring at the same.
Right.
This is the only time. This is when this cold is going to come in handy. Ready? Staring at those same four walls. Just, I can't take it anymore. Yeah. And the home show curls up like, I want everything.
Right. It's a cattle drive when they open up the doors. But we traditionally sell about the same amount out of both shows.
And I'm going to be hanging out with you guys from 1 until 3.
Absolutely.
I try to do that every show, and it's always fun. We get to meet some of the listeners, some of the people that have been following the show. I spoke yesterday on their little mini stage,
right?
Which was interesting. It was, I was expecting a different crowd. I was told
senior day.
Well, it was also trade day.
Trade day.
Okay, and I was expecting these trade school kids to be intermixed into my senior listeners. Now, I'm not criticizing the listeners. Don't get me wrong. And about half the crowd there was either listeners of this radio show. There's one guy. He follows my comedy. He goes to when I do stand up.
All right.
So I don't know if you haven't made it out to any of those.
No, I haven't.
It's naughty. I actually did a clean set a couple of weeks ago. My mom could have gone to that set.
All right.
Like, you know, but I was picking on her. But yesterday, what I was really pushing for was, you know, because they were seniors, my goal was talking to them about telling their grandkids, get into the trades.
Absolutely.
It is nuts out there.
Not only are we shorthanded, every contractor I know is.
Everyone. Every single one. I mean, I'm talking to HVAC guys that are saying, I'll pay somebody $15 an hour to be a helper.
Yeah.
And pay for their school.
Right. That's just shows how much we put importance in the previous couple of years on college, and we've thin things out. And of course, we had a recession and a lot of companies closed and a lot of people got out of the trades.
Well, I mean, I still dabble a little bit. Okay. I put in a toilet the other day. All right.
Good for you.
You know, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, one of the reasons I backed off the trades, so I did my time. I did 30 some years.
Yeah.
And the body can only, you know, you and I are both sitting here complaining about our shoulders.
Yes.
but, you know, I've been trying to do the timeline, and the way I've looked at it, I mean, okay, so we've got the boomers, which you're not exactly a boomer and you're not exactly a Gen Xer.
Yeah, I'm technically a boomer.
Okay. Boomers' parents didn't go to college, period.
Right.
Okay. I mean, darn few. My mother was the first one to go to college from her generation, her family. They wanted us to go to college. And I'll say, of my seven brothers and sisters, 50% have degrees, 50% don't. I don't. But my generation seemed to really push the next generation to get into school. And I think that's our fault.
Right. My parents didn't go to college. My brother didn't. My two sisters went a little bit, but great for each of us.
A couple of nights a week, he goes to welding classes. He's been doing it for 3 years.
Awesome.
To get certified as a welder. And my response, of course, awesome.
Yeah.
And he goes, you don't know. He says, my job could disappear tomorrow, and I've got to still, you know, feed the kids.
Right.
More than once, you know, he's lost his job, and you know, the next day he He's doing demolition for a contractor. He's, you know, hanging sheetrock for a contractor. He goes, I get my welding certificate.
He's golden.
I mean, he can make more money doing that than you can ever make in an office. Welders are making $45 to $80 an hour. And if you get into some of the specialty welding, like underwater.
Oh, yeah.
Do you, what those guys make is ridiculous.
Yeah, my massage therapist I see now and then, her husband is underwater.
Really?
Yeah.
He's
crazy money.
Yeah, it's like $125, $150 bucks an hour. I mean, it's dangerous as hell.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's very dangerous. But I mean, it was. I remember when I worked for a furniture store, and this young kid, he's about 24 years old, walks into the store, and he goes, okay, I want that bedroom set there. And he walks a little bit farther. I want this whole dining room set here. Walks a little bit farther. I like this living room set. I'll take that. And I'm sitting there writing this up going, well, somebody's going to be financing. He reaches into his pocket, pulls out a wad of cash like I haven't seen since, you know, watching
Breaking Bad.
Something like that. And then is when I noticed he had on his arms tattooed a MIG welder and a stick welder. And I looked outside, and here's his welding truck. He was choking down huge money because he got his welding certification before he got even out of high school.
Wow.
I know, right? So what do you, I mean, what trades are you hearing right now that are really struggling?
Oh, really all of them, but your plumbing, electrical, and HVAC, but brick mason, concrete, framers, roofers, pretty much all.
I
don't know anyone who's not hiring.
I was asking somebody the other day. Someone asked me, about an electrician. And I'm like,
I got two that I use.
You're lucky you got them.
Yeah.
And you must use them for bigger jobs because those little jobs are getting just ignored.
Yeah.
I've had people tell me, they're like, I just got this little job. I can't get anybody out to do it. And like, because they don't have time to stop. Yeah.
Well, fortunately for me, because I'm a GC, the electricians look at, I'm repeat business. So they'll go and do that little job for me.
Okay. So if you were going to advise somebody to go into a trade, which one would you start with?
Probably electrical.
Yeah. I kind of agree with that. When I took my plumbing classes, there was 20 people in the plumbing class, 60 in the electrical class. Because people thought, I don't get as dirty being an electrician. I don't want to wrestle. I don't want to, I didn't want to be around poo. And there was a glut there for a hot minute, but that all just went away so quickly.
Yeah.
So.
It is what it is, and we need to help.
Well, I've been listening to the numbers. They're saying right now, nationwide, we're down 35,000 HVAC techs.
Right.
And they're expecting, I think it's in the next 5 years, for that to 5 to 10 years, that go to 350,000 people.
Shoo.
I mean, I was talking to a buddy of mine.
Prepared to be hot or cold.
Oh, I was told the other day, I was talking to somebody at one of the plumbing supply stores. They said the way it's going right now, if someone wants a toilet installed, parts and labor is going to cost them $1,000. $1,000. It takes me literally. I'm not patting myself on the back. If it takes me more than 30 minutes, I'm screwing up.
Yeah.
To install a toilet.
So, yeah.
I'm going to say again, go for the trades. I think it's going to, now there is reports that this next generation, these people, they're in their teens right now. They're starting to get interested in working with their hands.
That's good. We need it.
I agree 100%. So I want to remind everybody, Kirk Akey from Akey's Home Improvement is here. The phone number is 672-2562. That's 672-2562. That's how you can get through to the show. Your booth is where at the home show?
We're at the exit.
At the exit.
Booth 1008. There's a banner above us and floor signs leading you to us.
And I heard you lost the bowling ball.
I don't know where it is. It was not my job.
Oh,
but see, we got a new one.
Yeah, if you're wondering, that's where you get to take a bowling ball and slam it against a window. It's pretty jarring the first time that happens.
Yes.
And inevitably, someone would do it when I had my back turned.
Right.
So I'm like, da da da. Son of a. Not good. Not good at all. Everybody, I want you to know that at 10 o'clock, I am going to have Addie Williams from HGTV right here on the home show. Richard McCann on News Radio, WRVA. This is the home show. I'm joined by my friend Kirk Akey from Akey's Home Improvement. How are you, sir?
Good.
Now, we were discussing earlier, I want to tell people what's going on right now, because stroke is something that affects a lot of people every year. Part of it is blood pressure. How was your blood pressure before this happened?
It was great. Okay. It was primarily the lack of baby aspirin.
Really? So just your blood got thicker?
Yeah.
And that's what caused you to have a stroke?
That's what the neurologist says.
Mm-hmm.
Urologist disagrees.
Oh, okay. Now, see, I've got high blood pressure, and I really do need to have my meds checked out because that's one of the things that does lead to stroke.
It does.
I mean, my blood pressure is a lot better than it used to be, but I mean, I remember it was 8 years ago. I walked into my doctor's office, and my blood pressure was 208 over 150. Or is that, have I got it backwards? Anyway, it was ridiculous. Cool. Come on in. Have a seat right there. We're going to have another guest in the next hour. So anyway, right now, though, because you are recovering from this stroke, I was asking you if you were having trouble with your speech. You said standing up actually makes it easier for you.
It does. It allows me to project more from my diaphragm, which helps. Sometimes I have to stop and think about a word a little bit. So I talked slow before. I talk really slow now.
Look, you've been listening to this show long enough that you know I should stop and slow down and say a word properly, because I stumble and sputter like an idiot half the time. But so I was telling people, and I have been telling them for weeks because I do your commercials, people want new kitchens and bathrooms and stuff before the holidays.
It's getting real tough now to have it done by then.
I want you to explain to people as best you can what goes into getting that project up and rolling.
Well, it's easy to get the estimate out to a customer. After we meet, we give them a budget for like faucets and cabinetry and countertops, that sort of thing, so they know what it's going to cost, and they then have control of the ultimate cost of the project, being that they pick something at higher or lower than the allowance I've given them.
Do you explain to people, though, by buying cheaper stuff,
oh yes,
it's going to come back and bite them right
absolutely
on the backside down the road?
Yes, we're doing a bathroom remodel now, and they said, "Oh, we got the faucet, so you can take that off." And they came from a box store.
Yeah, okay. So probably like a Glacier Bay plastic.
No, they did get Delta.
Okay.
But the pop-ups are plastic.
Right.
So I said, you know, take them back. You know, let me get the same model, but better.
Yeah,
no plastic parts.
People do not realize that, you know, I mean, Delta, perfect example. They make a great faucet I've been installing for years, but they make a contractor's grade and a builder's grade.
Right.
And builder's grade ain't as good as contractor's grade.
Right.
And the price difference isn't that much.
Not that much. You'd be surprised.
About 20%, I think, 25%.
Sometimes not that much.
Okay.
I've been able to buy almost the same price. Now, granted, I get the wholesale. And, you know, the box store is charging basically the same thing, but it's a cheaper made model.
Mm-hmm. My problem with going to box stores, honestly, is one, finding somebody to wait on me.
Yes.
Okay, because it's huge. I can't find anything. And then when the person who's, this is their, yeah, or this is the plumbing department, this is your department, I'll say, I need this. And they're like, huh? And they just look at me like I'm speaking Chinese or something. It's just it frustrates me to no end.
Yeah,
I actually waste time by going to the box store sometimes.
Well, for certain things, I do shop there. Big Orange. And I shop at the one along Hall Street, and I deal through the contractor desk.
Contractor's desk. Good boy.
Yes. So they're real helpful to me because I spend a lot of money there. So I cook them ribs a couple of times a year.
Oh.
So I get real good
bribery.
Service.
I respect the good bribe. I think that's... That's okay.
And you've had my ribs.
I have had your ribs.
Doggone good.
They are pretty doggone good. They're not the best I've ever had.
I'm not a professional.
No, you're not.
But they're pretty good.
I made a big mistake the other day. My grocery store was having a meat sale, and I bought a whole pork shoulder.
Mm.
Huge pork shoulder.
Nice.
Tossed it in the freezer. My wife said, "What are you going to do with that?" I'm like, I don't know. Because I have a smoker, but there's two of us, and you know how much a shoulder will feed, okay?
Yes.
I could make that, and we could be eating it at Christmas. So
yeah,
I think it's going to stay in the freezer. I might take it to Ronnie and have him smoke.
Yeah, all right.
But realistically, let's be honest. If someone wants a kitchen by Thanksgiving, it's not, and that's not you. That's any
contract. It's a borderline. I won't promise it'll be done by then, but you know, and it depends on their selections and what's stock and what's special order.
Right.
I had an addition that the contractor had been fired, and we took over the project. And
Speaking as a contractor, there's nothing more fun than taking a job somebody already started.
Yes, but we turned it into the best addition, an addition under $200,000 for that year from home builders. So
Wait, that was good. Can we stop for 1 second?
Sure.
You said addition.
Yes.
Under $200,000.
Yes.
You know, you and I run in different circles as contractors. Totally.
Under $200,000. Okay, yeah. It was about $45,000.
Okay. All right. That's what. So it's what I paid for my house.
Towards the end, she still hadn't picked her terracotta tile. And while I was in Baltimore at the National Remodeling Show, she picked it and I ordered it. And it was a import from Italy.
Yes.
That took 6 weeks to get there. So the job came to a total halt.
I was in Mexico. I wanted to start importing those beautiful sinks that they make.
Mm-hmm.
They take just cheap sinks and then put tile, and they're really ornate and beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, Kirk, we have just about reached the end of our time together this morning, my friend. And let's just remind everybody, if you do start to feel, you said, weakness.
I was weak, hot. My mouth drooped on the right. I couldn't talk at all. My arm was dead. That was pretty much it for me. Now, fortunately, I didn't panic because just a calm came over me for some reason.
Well, have you considered getting a first alert now?
No, but I have the app on my phone. It's a health app from Apple. And if I hold two buttons in, call 911 and then call my emergency contact list.
Excellent.
And let them know not only I've called for help, but where I'm at.
Well, I tell you what, there was a lot of listeners when they were worried about you. They called in and wished you the best. I'm glad you're doing better. And I will be hanging out with you at 1 o'clock out at the home show at the Richmond Raceway.
Absolutely.
Kirk Agee, thanks for coming in, big man.
Yes, sir.
My name is Richard McCann. The phone number is 672-2562. That's 672-2562. Today is the day of guests.
Yes.
Because in the next hour, Richmond SPCA is coming by. And we're going to talk about all the fun stuff they do with all them critters. I got a lot of critters. Get a critter. If you don't have a critter in your life, you are missing out. Kirk, you have a dog or a cat?
Each.
Ah, there you go. My name is Richard McCann. This is the Home Show, News Radio, WRVA. It's 1140 AM, 96.1 FM.
WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Welcome to our number dose of the Home Show on News Radio WRVA. My name is Richard McCann, your humble home improvement guru. Welcome, everybody. The phone number is 672-2562. That's 672-2562. Jordan, did I get it right this time? Thank you. Trying all I can. Wanted to thank everybody who came out and seen me speak at the Home Show yesterday. And it didn't go quite as planned. But I was happy to have the stage time. But the funniest part was I got to the end of it and I said, all right, so let's do some Q&A. You know, let's talk. Anybody got any questions? And one lady raised up her hand and said, is Oscar with you today? Yeah. The dog's more famous than I am at this point. So I am absolutely thrilled because I've been meaning to do this for so long and I'm kind of a slacker. Tabitha... am I going to say it right? Treelor?
Yes.
Treelor from the Richmond SPCA has come to visit me and spend some time. How are you?
I'm glad to be here. I'm actually sad that I don't have a dog with me because I like being just the escort or the chauffeur to a pet. Usually when I'm in the building, I do have an animal with me.
Right now, let's start with what's your gig at the SPCA? Because there's a lot of jobs to be had over there.
Yes, I'm the Director of Communications, and I have been at the Richmond SPCA since 2005.
Wow.
And so this is going to be my 15th year.
Excellent. I'm getting ready to celebrate 17 here on the radio. I'm pretty excited. Now, I ran into you here at the station. You had a cat.
Yes, I had a cat named Lazarus with me who was vocalizing. Everybody was stopping in the hallways to see where the meowing was coming from. We had been here on Wednesday to see Cat Simons, as we do every week. And she has had us on for many, many years doing a Pet of the Week and really promoting all of our programs and especially adoption of homeless animals.
Cat is a huge cat person. Is it too loud?
Oh, I'm just getting a little static.
Oh, don't worry about that. It's just radio.
Okay.
No, but Cat up at Mix has been a pet advocate, I think, since the womb. I mean, she owns several kitty cats herself, and I think it's fantastic. Now, how many?
Yes.
What's the average of when you bring one in? How long is it? What's its shelf life once it's been a celebrity on the radio?
Well, it's hard to know exactly if, you know, what of our efforts. You know, we have a great adoption center that is just, you know, what has become a great location and draws in a lot of people. And we're open 7 days a week. We do same day adoptions. So, you know, there are so many people coming into our facility and meeting animals. Now, yesterday, Lazarus was still with us. He's a 7 month old ginger tabby and a really active young guy who really announces himself and tells everybody that he needs some attention. I'm hoping today will be his day because Saturday is a really busy day at the Humane Center and a lot of people tend to come in.
Might I ask why you would name someone Lazarus? I mean, that's a backstory waiting to happen.
Well, I was, my question was, oh my gosh, please tell me this guy didn't like crash during anesthesia or something. They said that they didn't know why admissions. Our admissions team names about 4,000 animals a year, so they keep a running reference log. So I don't know why they chose Lazarus for this guy, but in spite of the biblical story, I think that he's really just an easygoing.
He's named Lazarus. Can you tell me anything about? Yeah, he's only got 8 left.
Oh no!
that first one was dicey. So just but you know, I've adopted animals from the SPCA. One of which, excuse me, I do have a cold. I don't think I'm contagious anymore. But my most recent adoption, and I'll give a backstory, went through a divorce, was living on my own. All my animals had gone, let's just put it that way. I realize how empty a house is without a pet.
I mean, it's just, I'm a builder. I mean, I've done, and I believe houses, homes have a soul, if you will. They're a living thing. If you leave a house by itself for 6 months, you come back, it's just dilapidated. And so I was sitting at home and I was just realized my house was dead. And I went to the SPCA and I adopted a cat.
Oh, I think that's the best way to really create a home is to have a pet. You know, I haven't been without a pet since really the first when I first started at the Richmond SPCA, and it took me about 5 months. And since that time, now I have a very full house with five animals. And
good. Five.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not all cats. Please tell me.
No, no. Actually, the cats are outnumbered. I have two cats and three dogs. The most recent dog came to join us just over the summer. And while my husband, who is active duty in the Navy, he was deployed. And I sent him a picture.
Oh, God bless him. Okay.
But he did ask, well, what are we calling him? I was just like, well, it's just a picture. I haven't even... So, yeah,
I'm sorry, but while you were away on maneuvers, we got invaded by another dog.
Yes.
Because I'm glad you said more dogs and cats, because I'm firmly believing once you hit five cats, you're a crazy cat lady. Okay.
We love the crazy cat ladies.
You can have, I have a friend of mine who has nine.
And, you know, there are people who can care for nine adequately and there are people who can't care for one adequately. So it really just all depends on, you know, what your resources are, and what's most important is recognizing your capacity.
Oh, her husband is fully aware that he's coming in number two to these cats. And the thing is, every single one of them looks like a bowling ball with legs. I mean, they are just lap of luxury, crazy cat lady. And I called it to her face. Once you passed five, you're done. Past four, excuse me. Once you hit five, crazy cat lady.
Now, our Susan and Markel Veterinary Hospital, I feel like our vets would tell me that obesity is one of the things in cats that we really need to be careful of. We definitely treat a lot of cats who have been, I guess, overloved.
That's probably the best way to put it, is overloved. I mean, the cat I adopted, and we'll talk about her more, she's a chunky little thing. And we adopted a feral,
mm-hmm.
and she took right to the house. Well, the feral is like 5 years younger than the other one and likes to chase the fat one around the house. So she's lost a couple pounds that way.
So has that helped with her workout and exercise regimen? Aw.
What's really funny is how she interacts with the dog. That's hysterical. He'll come up. He's just a puppy. He'll come up like, hi, how you doing? And she'll go, whap, 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 whap. I mean, just like rapid fire, just smack him right upside the head. And then he's like, okay, I think I better go. But we're going to talk about the SPCA, all the different programs that are out there. I really appreciate it. It's early for you.
It is a little.
Okay. But hey, look at it this way. I made Kirk get up and be here at 5:45. So, he knows the deal.
And I had a feline alarm clock this morning, so it was fine.
All right. My name is Richard McCann. I'm joined by Tabitha Treloar from the SPCA. Give us a call, 672-2562. This is The Home Show. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA. I'm joined by Tabitha from the Richmond SPCA, how are you?
Doing well. So glad to be here.
You don't have to get up this early for a cat, do you?
No, but my cats literally usually do get me up this early.
Well, you know, everybody knows that we got a dog. And the funny part is, my wife had never owned a pet of her own.
Oh, wow.
Never owned a dog. Okay. Grew up at one point as a child, they had a dog. But, I mean, and she's my age, and she said, I want to get a dog. And I said, okay, it's going to be your responsibility. It's your dog. I said, let's get a medium size. I've always had German Shepherds.
Okay.
I said, let's get a medium sized dog. And there's no way that dog is sleeping in the bed. I come home to a dachshund that sleeps in the bed. And you want to talk about the kitty alarm clock? Her cat will jump up in the bed, and the dog's like, oh, it's playtime.
Oh, no.
unfortunately, I usually...
So playtime on top of you
on
the bed.
On top of mm-hmm. us. So mm-hmm. Let's talk about, now, dogs versus cats. How many? What's our ratio over there at the SPCA?
It tends to even out through the year, but we're coming off of kitten season. Cats are very seasonal in their breeding, and the warmer it is, the more reproduction. Yes. So we've actually even, you know, the temperatures in Richmond did not start to reflect fall until very recently. And it really shows in the amount of kittens and cats that we have available for adoption right now. We still have a lot of kittens this time of year.
Really?
Yeah. And it seems like it's probably going to keep going because we just had some bottle babies on Thursday that we brought from Suffolk Animal Control, a litter of little bitty ones who are actually being fostered by a member of our staff who probably is awake right now because with bottle babies, you have to get up usually every 3 to 4 hours, even through the night. To make sure that because they don't have a mom, that you fix them a warm bottle, you stimulate them to eliminate, and then you get to crash until the next feeding.
Now, understand, I grew up on a farm, so my relationship to animals is very, very different than a lot of people. I mean, we had dogs, but they slept on a back porch.
Uh-huh.
It was heated, but they slept on the back porch. My mom wouldn't let us have cats. And when you live on a farm, natural causes isn't the old age is not the way a pet's going to go, unfortunately. But I adopted a cat, I was telling you earlier. When I went over there, I adopted a cat. I knew what feline leukemia was because I had a cat that caught it years and years ago. It was my very first cat. And the vet was like, you know, either put it down or start paying, you know, giving it this drug that was ridiculous. I'm like, you know what? He's fine. And he lasted 2 more years. I didn't know FIV was a thing.
Yes. Yeah, so FIV is feline immunodeficiency virus. And it is a virus that does attack the immune system. But cats with FIV can actually have long, healthy lives. They do need to be kept indoor only, which we recommend for all cats, but it's especially important for your FIV-positive cats. Similarly with feline leukemia, which unlike it is a little bit confusing when you're used to the idea of leukemia in people, but feline leukemia is a virus that's transmitted through social behavior, through biting, through shared water bowls even, and then through sexual behavior. Same with FIV, that it's transmitted socially between cats, but in a stable population where cats aren't breeding or fighting, it's very rarely transmitted in
and,
a home.
And you know, we, like I said, we adopted, when she and I first got together, we've been married a year, by the way.
Congratulations.
Isn't second marriages the best?
It is. I'm hoping my husband might be listening. He just got off duty in Norfolk, so.
Oh, what's his rank?
He is STG-1. He is a first-class sonar tech.
Wow. Very cool job. So, but when my wife and I, we were dating, she moved in, we got a call from somebody that said they had discovered a mama cat and 4 kittens abandoned in an apartment in Hopewell.
Oh.
And we met them in a parking lot of a Shoney's, and the kittens were all cute and everything like that. And then here's this mama cat, and you could tell right away she was a kitten that had kittens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cats can go into their first heat 6 months or so. So that happens quite a bit. You know, any cat who's not sterilized is gonna start adding to the population, which is why we do so much TNR with the feral outdoor community populations.
And we will definitely talk about this. This one in particular, we brought her home. She went into heat, escaped the house.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she partied with a couple of other cats around the neighborhood. It was a kitty-kitty gangbang. We got her back, and we had her fixed. Everything was fine. And I was worried about her getting the FIV, but you know, we've had her tested. She's fine.
Right.
But the FIV kitties, they're hard to adopt.
Well, you know, we've come a long way, you know, just the general shelter knowledge and shelter medicine as a veterinary practice. We've come a long way just in the time that I've been at the Richmond SPCA. You know, now we bring into our care quite a number every year of FIV positive cats. and we provide a lot of education. And we are really successful in finding them homes with people who are understanding of what their needs are and willing to do everything they can to give them the best life that they can. They may have a slightly shorter lifespan, but for most of their life, they're going to be just as healthy as
I, you know, I heard my cat's name is Tara. That's what I named her. She was given up by a family, which always freaks me out. Who could give up a pet? But I guess, right. You know what? Sometimes it has. And the only time it has truly affected her is I was letting her, I have a fenced in backyard. I was letting her go outside just to sun herself. And we got the worst infestation of fleas I've ever seen in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And with that diminished system, it really did affect her.
Did she become anemic?
Oh, she was just a disaster. And you know where she ended up?
At our hospital.
There you go.
So the Susan M. Markel Veterinary Hospital, we opened in 2016 to provide affordable veterinary care to the Richmond community. It was one of the greatest unmet needs for pet guardians is for people of modest means to have access to affordable vet care. It was one of the biggest things that was leading to relinquishment of animals, not because people didn't love them and care for them and want them in their lives, but because they could not afford the cost of keeping them healthy.
Hey, you know, I mean, like I said, grew up on a farm more than once. Like, it's going to cost how much? Is it where the pet's not going to be around? It's been a godsend for me, SPCA's animal hospital, because many times I couldn't afford it. And you guys have helped out a lot. We're going to take some calls at 672-2562, 672-2562. Right after the news, I appreciate you, Tabitha, coming in. We've got another half hour. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do this. My name is Richard McCann. This is The Home Show. Don't remind you to go to WRVA.com. That way you can download podcasts of the show. If you miss any part of it, you can always download it. This is The Home Show News Radio, WRVA. Is the phone number. I'm joined by Tabitha Treylor. Treylor?
Treylor.
Treylor. Hard names. Jordan, real quick, my guest would like to know, who was the last bumper music?
That was Linkin Park.
Okay.
Okay, I knew I recognized it. We're both jamming along, and I'm like, your intro music, I have to know.
Oh, we are known for having the best intro music in the building.
Yeah.
I mean, we bury them all.
Oh, and then I just glanced at my phone, and it was telling me, Faint by Linkin Park. Yeah,
there you go.
There we go.
So you are the communications officer at the SPCA. Is that the proper title?
Director of Communications. I'll take anything.
All right. Okay. and we've been talking about, you and I during the break, we were talking about feral cats, which we talk about quite a bit here on The Home Show. Can you tell about the catch and release program that the SPCA does?
Sure. We have been doing high volume trap neuter return since about at least 2004, which is before my tenure there. Currently, our Susan M. Markel Veterinary Hospital makes available anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500 TNR appointments every year, and that all involves free sterilization, vaccination against rabies. While they're out for surgery, we do a full physical, because the thing about a feral cat is that they're not socialized to humans, and so we don't handle them at all when they're awake. They come in a humane trap. They're anesthetized.
Which I can say, someone can come to you and get a humane trap.
Yes. When you have an appointment for a TNR sterilization, you can borrow a trap from us. It is a $50 deposit, but that's fully refundable when you return the trap in good working order. And the way the trap works is that it's kind of a long rectangular box, and it has a pressure plate inside that you bait with something really good and stinky that's appealing to a cat.
I use tuna.
Yep. A lot of people talk about different fish-based things. Some people say mackerel is the stinkiest.
Oh, mackerel is vile.
But not to cats. Oh, to cats, you know, it's like gold.
I love sushi, but I can't do the mackerel. It's just too much for me.
But so, you know, especially if you've been feeding the colony, that you want to limit your feeding before you're preparing to trap, because a hungry cat is a trapped cat. You bait your trap with your good stinky stuff, and then you wait.
Then you know what happens? Here's what happens next. Speaking from experience, next thing you know, you have a cat that you've never seen a creature so mad in your entire life. You could have broke all your mom's china. She wasn't as mad as this cat.
Yeah, when they go in and it snaps, they are less than pleased. Some people will be upset about how stressed they appear to be. But it's all for the greater good.
They
recover very well. And we always recommend once you've trapped the cat, drape it with a blanket, a towel, so that they kind of settle once you drape them.
I will advise you, don't put your fingers anywhere near that cage.
Because
let me see. I'm trying to do the math in my head. And we're not going to count the cat that my wife and I got.
That became part of the family.
But I've domesticated 1, 2, 3, 4 feral cats.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was a couple. I was pulling up my memories on Facebook, and it was a couple years ago. And they were brother and sister. One was a long-haired black cat, and one was a Siamese.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them and their mom moved into my house, hung out for the entire winter.
Oh, my gosh.
And then spring hit, and they're like, see you. And they peaced out on me.
You must have, like, a vacancy sign, welcome on the cat railroad or something.
Well, what I try to do is with the ferals, because I do want to bait them and trap them eventually, mm-hmm. And I don't want it to be overly traumatic, because I will make sure there's a little something outside. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but, you know, that way at least I know they're not digging through trash cans and mm-hmm. eating garbage, and eventually I can catch them.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I'm glad you guys are doing that program. That is,
yeah.
Now, I understand you were telling me something briefly, is you've got some Caribbean puppies.
We do. Yesterday, we brought into our care 4 dogs who had come from the Bahamas. We worked with a group that has become a wonderful partner to us called Florida Urgent Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And their founder went to the Bahamas, chartered a plane, and worked with the Humane Society there to bring back to the States a number of dogs that all went to different partners. And their volunteers actually, once they landed in Fort Lauderdale, their volunteers provided ground transportation to the Richmond SPCA and other shelters. So these 4 dogs we know were surrendered by their owners before Hurricane Dorian
mm-hmm.
hit the island. The country has a long way to go to recovery. And so for these dogs, the very best prospect is coming stateside. The Richmond SPCA is going to address all of their veterinary needs in the coming weeks. We're very experienced and have some international protocols in place. So we're going to quarantine them for 2 weeks and keep a really close watchful eye on them. But I got to be in the room when our associate veterinarian, Dr. David Molinas, was giving them their intake exams yesterday. And everybody looks really good. We've definitely got some concerns that we're going to be addressing. But the great thing about the Richmond SPCA and the Richmond community that has enabled us to do this is that we have a Cinderella Fund. And that fund is entirely dedicated to providing veterinary care and rehabilitation to homeless animals that we take in every year. We usually care for about 4,000 animals a year, and about 85% of those require some type of intensive veterinary care above and beyond the preventative and sterilization. You know, we treat hundreds of cases of heartworms, and we have the FIV cats and lots of respiratory conditions.
I was driving down a road with a friend of mine, and there was this mangy dog in the road. And he pulls off and says, come on, get in here. And this thing climbs into the cab. And the smell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, skin conditions definitely can produce that.
The smell was unbelievable. And we took them up the road, and there happened to be a groomer right there at the end of the road. And this is the funniest story ever. So he was dealing with this because I wasn't. And he takes this dog in, and they said, and he was sweet enough dog, wasn't biting, nose and nipping. And they said, well, he'll be ready this afternoon. My friend goes back that afternoon, and he's looking around at all the cages because the dog we picked up was, you know, a butterball. It was round. It was about a foot and a half in diameter. And he's looking around for the dog, and he sees this skinny little thing over. And he goes, man, that's a really cute dog. Who owns that one? They goes, that's
what you brought in?
That's your dog. They figured it had been on the loose for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And they peeled. The mange was 4 inches thick.
Mats. Yeah, mange is usually a mite. But yeah, usually dogs with mange don't have any fur. But this had like thick, heavy mats.
It looked like a Rastafarian. I mean, not to criticize Rastafarians. This poor dog was not in good shape. But you're not a kill shelter either, right?
We've been no-kill since 2002. We're an entirely private humane society. And so we bring into our care animals from all over Virginia and beyond that are in the care of local municipal shelters. And our goal is to transfer into our shelter those who are most at need, and particularly those whose veterinary needs we can address to get them to either a manageable or healthy condition so that they can find homes.
And most of your dogs, they are mixed breed. I don't think you get a lot of purebred anything, do you?
Every once in a while. I mean, but yeah, most are mixed breed. And if you go to our website, you'll notice that breed actually isn't something we list in their description because it's just notoriously unreliable to guess a dog's breed based on physical characteristics. And what we focus on is individual personality. And our adoption counselors are wonderful at meeting potential adopters and helping to understand what their home is like and what their needs are and help match them with a pet in our care who is going to be, just individually suited to you.
Yeah, I mean, they become a part of the family. I don't like the whole fur babies word, okay? And I have so many. I've had people actually apologize, like, sorry, Richard, I didn't mean to call it a fur baby. And it's because I grew up as they were pets until I saw what happened when my wife got this dachshund, and I'm doomed. I'm just doomed. He was a puppy. She picked him up, and he just peed all over her, and she's like, I'll take him. I mean, that's done.
When the connection is made, it's just a member of the family.
It absolutely is. So we're going to talk a little bit more because we still have a little bit time left.
Okay.
But this thing goes by pretty quick, doesn't it?
It does.
I told you it's a TARDIS. I told you this place is a TARDIS. If you want to give us a call, it's 672-2562. That's 672-2562. Don't forget to go to WRVA.com. That's where you can download podcasts of the show. And you can download the radio.com app. Don't forget, also, please follow me on Facebook and on Twitter, because today I am going to be out at the home show from 1 o'clock until 3, hanging out with the boys there at Akey's Home Improvement, and I'll be checking on some of my other people while I'm out there. I'm still with Tabitha. This is the home show, News Radio WRVA, 1140 AM and 96.1 FM. Radio WRBA 672-2562. Jill.
Hello. How do you know it was me?
I'm a very smart man.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, one thing, I had a cat once for about 16 years, and then she died. From what I was told, it was feline infectious peritonitis. When she was about 8 years old, I thought it was difficult to find homes for her kittens when she'd have kittens. But I didn't want to take away her fun. So what I did was...
Wait. You didn't get her fixed because you didn't want to take away her fun?
I'm telling you what I did do.
Oh, okay.
What I had done, I had her sterilized.
Yeah, okay. That's
spayed, just sterilized.
There's a difference?
Yeah, I had her tubes tied. That way she could still have her fun, but just not get pregnant. Except it didn't work because they came untied, apparently. Then the next operation I had for her, I had their tubes removed. Just the tubes, not the ovaries. So after that, she could come and eat and have her fun and not get pregnant. And I thought that was the best idea.
Well, so cats don't, this is Tabitha, cats don't actually have recreational sex. It's all hormonally driven, and none of it is consensual.
It's not consensual at all.
So it's entirely biologically driven, and really, biologists will tell you that humans are actually the only mammals that that engage in sexual activity for reasons other than just the hormones said I had to do it.
No bonobos.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there are members of the primates that also. But for cats, it's entirely a thing of the female puts off hormones because she's in heat. The males are just attracted to
they're
that.
They're men is what they're...
And it's not a consensual relationship. It's just what biology told them to do. So by sterilizing them and taking that process out, we actually let them have a much more peaceful life that is beneficial to them because they're not reproducing. And it also reduces cancer risk.
Jill, I gotta let you go. Thanks so much. 672-2562. I'm going to have to take a home improvement question real quick.
Sure.
What's going on, Missy?
Hey, good morning. First of all, my dog is a patient at the SPCA. Dr. Molinas is wonderful.
He is. He's great.
Thank you so much for being there.
Thank you.
My home improvement question is, I was in my attic yesterday, and I noticed that there's tape that runs along the apex of the roof inside, and some of it's missing or kind of it looks like it's ripped or something, which I didn't do. I just never even noticed it. Who do I call to fix that, or what do I do?
Call Kirk Akey at Akey's Home Improvement.
I don't suppose you know his number.
I only do it like four commercials a show, but 216-9371.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Missy. Let's take a second to talk about the volunteers.
Oh my gosh, our volunteers are amazing. It's really the heart of the organization. We have volunteer opportunities in every area of our operation. And as you know, since you've been to our center
many times,
it's really an amazingly varied operation. You know, we have everything from the adoption center that everybody thinks about, the hospital that we've talked about. But there's also just a lot of other things that go on from day to day that really thrive.
Well, you have a pet store.
We do. We have the Laura Robbins gift shop, which has just a great variety of things for your pet, whether it's just getting the essentials at the time of adoption or coming back to get something fun for your pet. I'm lucky that I get to take my dog to the office with me. And so she's fairly used to going in every day after our afternoon walk and getting a bully stick, which is just your eyes lit up. You know how a dog reacts to that. So we have treats. We have, you can refresh seasonally your collar and leash, get something cute. We, of course, have lots of Halloween things in stock
no.
right now.
No. No.
You're not a fan of costuming.
No. Okay, well, that's humiliation to the dog. And like I said, dachshund, they make all kinds of
shit. Oh, yes.
And my wife's like, we could get that. I'm like, no.
But there are also Halloween toys. You can have the Frankenstein's monster as a little squeaky toy.
Here's the thing. I'll say this about, I've learned about dogs. I never thought I'd learn anything new. Squeaky toys, you know, the stuffed mm-hmm. animal things, okay? We got him a multi-pack, all right? And one of them, he played with it and tore it up, but it took him a couple of days. And then I forget what the next one, I think the next one was like a little alligator, and he played with that. Then we gave him one that looked like a hedgehog.
I love that hedgehog toy. Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, here's the thing. Dachshunds were bred to go after badgers and groundhogs and go down into the and he saw that hedgehog and it was eviscerated in 5 minutes just because on a genetic level he goes, must kill that.
It just spoke to him.
But I mean, give him a duck and he's like, okay, I'll there is something to be said about them and their instincts.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a dog freak at the fair and there was a cardboard cutout of a tiger, full size, orange, bright colors and everything. She lost her mind because that color, that shape is bad.
Oh my goodness.
And you were saying you have some kind of big hoodly-hoo coming up in the next couple of days?
Well, I think I was going to mention that we have a Meet the Fosters training. So our foster care volunteers are the volunteers who take pets into their own homes temporarily and care for them until they're ready for adoption. It helps us expand our capacity beyond the four walls of our Humane Center. And it helps especially young kittens to get a home experience that prepares them for a successful life. And the way Meet the Fosters works is that we have a workshop that's this Wednesday, October 16th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to provide you with all the training to make you a successful foster. And, you know, really anyone can foster.
Now, if you foster and you keep it, you're a foster failure.
Well, that's foster failure is kind of tongue-in-cheek because that's also wonderful. We'll even give you, if you adopt your foster, we'll even give you a discount on the adoption fee. You know, there's also that the whole point is to bring the pet back because that does leave you open to fostering more in the future. And so letting go is also an important part of the foster experience. But the great thing about fostering for the Richmond SPCA is that not only do we do the training through the Meet the Fosters workshop, but we also provide you with all of the supplies you need during the foster period. We provide all of the veterinary care they need. Your commitment is solely to providing the temporary home and providing all of the love that they need to help them either recover from a medical procedure or just learn how to be in a home.
I tell you what, with only a couple of minutes left, one of the things I just heard about recently is people that take in animals that have limited time left on this planet. And that is just probably the most, that would rip my guts out.
Yeah.
And that takes a special kind of person right there.
We do have some hospice volunteers, but most often our hospice animals live out their lives with staff. And it is a very rewarding, but it can be draining.
Well, Tabitha Treelore, did I say it right that time?
You did.
Yay! From the Richmond SPCA. I really appreciate you getting up early. This is a tough gig for some people. Some people are like, I'm not getting up that early. Can you give us the website?
RichmondSPCA.org.
And that's where they can learn about animals, volunteering, and any other darn thing.
Absolutely. We have lots of events throughout the year. We work with local businesses. We work with all kinds of groups. And we have so many things you can do. You can even come and train your dog at our Humane Center.
Well, what you can do is every time you're having an event, feel free to contact us here at the Home Show, and we'll let everybody know about it. My name is Richard McCann. I'm here every Saturday, 6 to 8, 10 till noon. And today I will be at the Home Show from 1 until 3 at Akey's Home Improvement. Jordan, light them up and let's get out of here. That is another Home Show in the can, burned to a disc and put neatly in a shoebox underneath my mama's bed. I want to thank Jordan for getting up early and pushing all the right buttons. Dennis for keeping his finger right on the pulse of the news. Tabitha and Kirk for coming in, making my job a lot easier. I'll see you right back here, 10 o'clock, WRVA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.